To our final panel of the afternoon. The afternoons always get to be a little bit dragging, so I hope that the caffeine jolt has helped. My name is Mark Henry. I'm Vice President for Academic Affairs at ISI, and I'm moderating our panel today. You know, the idea for this conference or this weekend started several years ago. I began pitching to Bill Campbell an idea that I would like to have seen, which was not quite Europe, the United States, and the future of Western civilization. My idea was to have, as a conference theme, does Europe have a future? and does it matter? Does Europe have a future? It seems there are many, many great challenges facing the Europeans. A crisis in economics, deepening union of the European Union seems to imply greater regulation, strangulation of the economy. The welfare state as currently structured in Europe is clearly unsustainable. There's a crisis of the nation as the European Union in its political form actively seeks to undermine the basis of the historical nations of Europe. There's a crisis of Islam, which has generated a series of fairly spectacular violent incidents. It was said in the American invasion of Iraq that we were sort of solving the jihadist problem at its roots, or getting to the root cause of the problem. But if you looked at the 9/11 terrorists, most of them came from Europe or had been living in Europe for quite some time. So basically, maybe we need to invade Europe to solve the root causes of terrorism. Given the Islam situation, they have the problem is that I don't really know what the regime would be that we would put in place that would solve the Islam problem in Europe, since the Europeans have actually tried almost everything. It's actually quite interesting that various approaches to what to do with Islam have been tried in France, in Holland, in Spain, and in the UK, and they all got violent death for their troubles. So I'm not really sure what the American answer would be. And then finally, a crisis of demography, which was mentioned in the last session. Does Europe have a future in the most elemental sense? But then also, does it matter? Meaning, does it matter to us Americans, and to us American conservatives? And, you know, for someone like myself, who grew up with an understanding of the Cold War as a defense of the West, a question like that seems absurd. But time has passed, historical events have occurred, and there are now those who understand America not really as the youngest daughter of the West, but rather America as the first universal nation, and indeed the Novus Ordo Seclorum, the new order of the ages. If what we share as Europeans and Americans is Western civilization and historical civilization, and yet America is understood exhaustively as the new order for the ages in repudiation of its past, then does Europe matter? If we push American exceptionalism too far, it seems to me that we end up with the question, if America is the indispensable nation, does that mean that Europe is dispensable? And to these crises, we can add another, a crisis of culture. Because if it's true that America understands itself, or certain elements in America understand America in repudiation of its history, or repudiation of the history before America, of a Novus Ordo Seclorum, there's a similar such repudiation in Europe. The Europeans themselves also seem to reject the Western civilizational tradition in the name of a Novus Ordo Seclorum, a global culture of human rights or humanitarian democracy. And so with the double repudiation on the side of this side of the water and that side of the water, Europe does indeed seem to be in crisis. So that's bad news all around. And yet there's also quite a lot of hope. And I'm particularly hopeful because in the past few years, we at ISI have been noticing something. These Europeans have started washing up at our doorstep. And for those of you who have institutional affiliations in Washington, D.C., having foreigners come to your doorstep is nothing. But they don't often get to Wilmington, much less Greenville, Delaware. And so we saw that something was going on. What we saw going on was that from several different countries, new organizations were forming that were actually addressing the cultural problem. And the people who came to visit us were, without exception, young, very young, entrepreneurial, very intelligent and skilled, and deeply committed. Committed what, to what? Committed to the Western tradition. People who impressed us as having extraordinary levels of human capital. And so if this is showing up at your doorstep, then something is afoot. But conservatism in Europe has a theoretical problem as well. The problem of conservatism in Europe is what can be conserved given Europe's history in this past century. From the standpoint of the East, after the communist experience, what would it mean to be a conservative after decades of a revolutionary imposition? And for the West, we have to also remember what we don't often remember, which is that the Nazi episode in the 1930s and 40s deeply implicated many elements of Western European civilization. And so the way in which to find your way back to a tradition to conserve is highly problematic. But the encouraging thing is that these groups and individuals are genuinely seeking to found a new conservatism in Europe, and they're building up an institutional apparatus to do so. We have four folks with us to speak on this matter today, and they will go in order from left, my left to right. They are first Alberto Mengardi, who was born in 1981. He is the Director General of the Institute Bruno Leoni, which is an Italian free market think tank founded in 2003. He is a graduate of the University of Pavia and pursuing a PhD there. He also is the translator of Rosmini's Constitution Under Social Justice into English from Italian. Next, we have Roman Jok, born in 1971 from Prague. He was trained as a medical doctor, receiving his PhD in 1996, but beginning in 1996, he also became a fellow at the Civic Institute in Prague, and since 2003 has served as director of the Civic Institute, an institution that has its roots in the dissident movement under communism. He has one book in Czech on Frank Meyer and American conservatism. Next, Alex Pesset, from France, born in 1975, a graduate of Paris II Law School, the Law School of the University of Paris, where he also taught for 4 years, and more recently is the founder and executive director of the Institut de Formation Politique, an institute for political training with deep ties and inspiration to the Leadership Institute here in the United States. Finally, Michael Visser from New York City, who is Dutch and is chairman of the Dutch Edmund Burke Stichting, Edmund Burke Foundation in Holland. Michael is a graduate of the University of Leiden. He did an MPhil at Oxford in political thought and an LLM at Harvard in law, and is currently a lawyer in New York. But also directs the Edmund Burke Foundation from there. And so first we start with Alberto Mengardi.